No good? It was okay. No, not every day is perfect. You have a perfect day every day? No, you know, sometimes it's tough. But you know what? We count our blessing. When we compare other people, you know, we are blessed. You have food on your table. Do you have a problem with that? To find food on your table, have clothes on your back. And so, you know, I talk with a few people in different countries. You know, I feel sorry for them, you know. I mean, they go cold-praying all day, sell book. And they couldn't find even $5. I'm not even one. And so it's tough. So you know what? We're blessed. God has blessed us so much. And we should count our blessing. And not only count our blessing, but we need to share our blessing. Don't you think so? Do you know, people ask me, you know what, about blessing. Why Mr. So-and-so have so much money he can give to the church? Let's say Mr. Dong Feng, you know. He give to this church when we build this church, 100,000. He give 2 million to Lesser University to build an educational building. How come he have so much money? If God give me that much money, I'm going to give. Well, you know what? Maybe God know that you won't give. That's why he won't give you as much. Sometimes God tests us. Some small things, see how much are we faithful in small things before he blesses us the big things. You know, it's very important that we need to understand the blessing has come to us. God taught us to give, not to take. The more we give, the more God will bless us. We cannot outgive God. And so that related today, what I want to share with you, and also related today about the truth about hellfire. The message I want to share with you today is the rich man and Lazarus, okay? I know some of you heard that before, but sometimes we need to be remind ourselves. And also, I would like you to understand this, that we learn the Bible not just for ourselves, but we learn is to share. God would not teach us everything we need to know about the Bible just for ourselves, right? He wants us to share. The more we share, the more we learn. If we don't share, we stop learning. I don't know if you know about that. You know, the more we share, the more we learn. The more we teach, the more we learn. The more we talk about it, the more we learn. Those ideas is committed to memory. So I want to share with you about the message about the rich man and Lazarus here. When I was young and in Vietnam, you know, every summer, my grandmother, and my grandmother is a devout Buddhist. Every summer, she took a group of kids and because my parents work all day and they cannot take care of me summer, so I got stuck. I have to go with my grandmother. And where do you go? Go to the beach. All the kids want to go to the beach, right? Well, no, this particular beach is a Buddhist temple on the top of the cliff overside of Vũng Tàu at the beach. And so I would stay there for, what, few weeks, even 2 months, even 3 months. I was really bored to death. Because my grandma sit in the temple, chanting and recite the whatever book they have and talk with other elderly or cook vegetarian food for some of the monk. And I was, don't know what to do. The kid walking around. So I walk around every single where, the place to sleep, the lodging, the meal place. And I walk into a hall. I see all type of pictures on the wall. Not word, picture. And these pictures portray some doctrine. If you drop a piece of rice, you're going to go to hell. You're going to eat one worm. So more rice you drop, you can eat more of that. And I walk into, I see a big picture about hellfire. There's someone dying there and crying out, please help me, save me. When I look at that, I would have nightmare on those pictures. That's to scare the heck out of a little kid. But you know what? Sometimes it's work. Because when they're scared, they will think about it, and they'll be afraid. So up until now, I will never, never leave my plate with food. I make sure I eat everything. That's why I gain weight, you guys. You know? So my wife said, you know, don't you leave leftover, you know? But I have taught that I have to eat everything. If they give you, you like it or you don't like it, you have to eat everything. Because I learned from that. Okay? And so this picture has drawn my mind for years. And a kid grow up very fearful of those kind of pictures. You know, that really scares the heck out of them. And so they make sure that you do something right. And so some of the doctrine out there try to teach you, you got to be fearful of something so you can do something right. You know, fear is not the way of God teaching his word. Because fear only goes so far and go to the point that you not fear anymore, you're going to forget about it. And so I know that's not the method. And so when I get into the Bible, I read this very particular selection and found in the book of Luke chapter 16. If you go with the book of Luke chapter 16 with me, Luke chapter 16. And this very specific passage, as I read it, I say, wow, this is exactly that I learned when I was a kid. How in the world that the Bible, Christian church, believe in the Bible, and the Buddhists have the same doctrine on hellfire? And so I'm reading this here, Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was lay at his gate. Okay? And this man desired to feed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sore. And so here it is. This story about portray about hellfire. And here both of them died, and the rich man go to hell, and the beggar go to heaven, more or less. And so I read this, and I said, wow, this is very interesting. And, of course, it make me afraid about it, but the more thing, I thought there's a lot of things common in Buddhism and Christianity. But as I read more and more into the Word of God, I say, does it make sense from many other texts that Jesus teach about death? And so I find out that Jesus cannot contradict himself. Okay. Now, I want to share with this point here. How many of you, the thing about this idea have been going around within the Christian church? The Christian church believe in it? There's true hellfire burning forever? Do you know? Do you know anything other Christian church, or just only know Seventh Adventist? Yes, many Christian churches believe in it. They believe there's a literal meaning of teaching people how to live right. If you do wrong thing, if you don't care for the beggar, you don't feed the poor or the outcast, this is what happened to you when you die. And so this is go across the whole world. And as I think about this, I said, no, this could not be. We need to do something. This is not literal meaning. This must be figurative somehow. But how do I know? How do you and I know? You and I need to know very well. If you believe this literal, then you got to find out yourself. But you know there's a figurative, some meaning behind it. You need to share, because many people fall in the trap of Satan, believe this is the teaching of hellfire. Nowhere else in the Bible talking about hellfire except this particular story, this particular parable. And so to me, and to you, it's very important we need to understand, to stand truth to the Word of God. And we need to understand such a point that we need to explain this. And we need to share. We need to preach, because many people are misleading. Because if God would torture a rich man because he did not share some of the food he had to some beggar, and he'd go to hellfire and burn forever, then God is worse than Hitler. At least Hitler will burn someone and consume it, and that's it. But God decided to burn people 1,000 or eternity. And so that's why I go back to this verse and try to understand what's going on, because we need to really portray a true God character. And so here it is, 3 points I want to share with you. Some of the Bible texts will help us that what in this particular context is contradict with other place. And so why don't we see what other verses talking about death. Okay? Maybe I need a few volunteers, okay? Because it's good for you and I going to be interact here, okay? You and I going to read some Bible text. So I need a few people to read Bible text. Some of you have a Bible, right? either e-Bible or book Bible. It's good to have your this Bible, okay, to mark your Bible. Who can read for me Psalm 6:5? I'm going to read 4 or 5 texts. I'm going to go on. 6:5. Jessica, maybe Psalm 6:5. And Hillary, can you read 1 Thessalonians? Can you do it? 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Okay, a few more. Malachi 4:3. Okay, Ken, Malachi 4:1 and Malachi 4:3. Okay, and David, how about 2 Peter 3:10? All right, okay, shoot. Psalm 6:5. Okay, in death, no one remember. Okay, so the parable we just read or a little bit, how can the beggar, Lazarus, remember the rich man? So that's contradictory right there. It doesn't make sense. Okay, all right, next.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Okay, the dead in Christ shall rise when? First, but when? At the second coming, when the loud voice of the archangel with the sound of the trumpet, only then when the dead will rise. Not in this parable, the dead, when the rich man die, is go directly to hellfire. No, so that's not true. Verse 16, 17.
Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with
them. So we go to heaven together, okay? The dead don't go heaven first, okay? And so do not pray to people in heaven, because they're not there, by the way. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Okay, next, Malachi 4:1 and Malachi 4:3.
For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yet all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up.
Okay, the thing is, burn up! Nothing left! If the rich man go to hellfire, it's burned up. How can he talk? Does it make sense? Okay, last verse, 2 Peter 3:10.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fragrant heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up.
Okay, everything will burn up, including the wicked. And so right there, just a few verses, we see it's different. If we take that parable as literal, okay, so does it make sense? Okay, Jesus cannot contradict himself. Okay, he's same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. It's the same. And so, now, in other words, now, if only parable, only story is different from other texts, there's something wrong with this. Just like the story about the thief, right, nailed on the cross. Okay? And we read the text right there to say that on this day you will be with me in paradise. Okay? I talk with you this day and we'll be in paradise. And so this out of context, this different from other verses, so we must be interpret that text wrong. Same thing this parable. So something about this parable the people just glimpse through. And so they miss a point. Okay, now that's the first point. There's no contradiction. Jesus has to be same. Now, second part I want to share with you here, that there's some Bible verses to show this is figurative. It's not literal. Okay? Literal, that means hellfire. Figurative, that means some lesson that we can draw out of it. You know, parable. Parable is not true sometimes. It's really try to teach a lesson. Now, why don't Jesus tell directly? Hey, Ben, you know, I can tell you directly what you need to do. Why do I have to tell in parable? You know, the Pharisee, you know, they don't like to be direct. You know, you tell, you are the wicked. You do this and that. Guess what? They were burning him up. They're going to kill him. That's number one. Number two, sometimes so much direct people hear about, they hate it, and they reject the truth. But the last point is very important. It's number three is this. A parable is for those who seek for the meaning. If you seeker, you really try to find the meaning behind the story that you can find the lesson for you. Okay? Other people, the parable, I don't understand what it's talking about. So that's why when Jesus talks in parable, the Pharisee don't understand. And so the disciple comes to Jesus. Come on, tell me plainly, plain word. Tell me what does that mean? And so the disciple decided to seek after Jesus to find the meaning. That's what parable is for. If you want to find the meaning, you have to seek after Jesus to find the meaning. You have to dig into the Word of God to know the meaning. And so that's what this parable is for. Now, let a few verses that help us to understand some of the point in this parable is figurative. Okay, let's read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. Let's go on this side. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. So I give Tim some time to turn to it. Hebrews 11, 16. And Sarah, maybe you have... Sarah, you have another Bible? Okay, Sarah. Sarah, turn with me to John 5, 28 and 29. John chapter 5, 28 and 29. And we have Dow, Revelation 22, 11 and 12. Okay, and Philip, Matthew 13, 40 through 42. Okay, you got it? So Hebrew, chapter 11, verse 16. Here it's talking about Abraham, the father of faith here. And so Abraham looking for something. Where's heaven? Is heaven is Abraham's bosom? Okay, Hebrew chapter 11, verse 16. Okay, this is in the context of Abraham tried to search for a city. He searched for heaven. So heaven is somewhere that Abraham's searching for. Heaven is not in Abraham's bosom. Okay? If heaven is Abraham's bosom, how can the bosom fit a million of cushion in there? So it's got to be figurative. Okay? People ignore that point. Second point, okay? John 5, 28 and 29, talking about the dead in the grave here. Okay? John 5, 28 and 29. Okay, so the reward will happen at the end time. It not happen when you die. Okay, Dow, Revelation 21, 11 and 12. 22. Revelation 22, 11 and 12. Okay, same thing. The reward happened at the end time. At the end time. And if you are in heaven, you're in heaven. If you are in hell, you're in hell. That's what the Bible texts. But at the end time is a reward. Okay, Matthew chapter 13, right? Matthew 13, 40 through 42. Okay, go ahead, finish that.
And will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Okay, cast in the lake of fire and burn up and no more. And so some of the text trying to point out is this here, that this is a parable as not literal meaning, but figurative. Okay? Now, I want to point to the third point here. What this parable, what is the meaning behind it? Who's Jesus talking to? Why is it important to you and I today? Okay, the whole chapter 16 of Luke is talking about stewardship. Okay, especially going to verse 1 of chapter 16 of Luke. And he also said to his disciple, he talked to the disciple now, okay, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his good. Okay? Now, here, talking about the whole chapter, I'm talking about money here, okay? Money and asset. What you have, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? And so this whole parable talking about that, and as we move on to the parable, talking about verse 10, he who was faithful what is least is faithful also in much. If God gives you little, you be faithful, you will be faithful in much. Okay? If God gives you a job when you just first graduate or you're still in school, $1,000 a month, if you're faithful and tithe, $100, then when you go to work, God will give you a job, $10,000 a month. If you $10,000 a month, how much a tithe? What's the tithe of $10,000 a month? It's $1,000. So if you're faithful 100, you will be faithful 1,000. A lot of people say, well, gee, 100 is a little, but no, 1,000, that's a lot. You know, 1,000 within a year, I can buy a brand new car. You see, God want to test us, are we faithful in what God given us? And so later on, in the same chapter, talking about there's a master. You know, do you worship money or you worship God? Mammon or God? And so that's the whole point. And after that, here the Pharisee mock Jesus. Verse 14. Now the Pharisee who were lover of what? Money. They love to have a holiday. People come to the temple. They bring money and offering. You know what? Churches, temple, in general, collect a lot of money through what? All those specifically festival. Especially holiday. That's why some religions, they create so many holidays in their religion. Day of this, day of the same, day of worship this, day of that. So when they come, guess what? They bring money. And so all these priests here, all the Pharisees make so much money, they are lover of money and also heard all these things, talk about stewardship, and they deride him. As I threw the whole thing, it was finished, and Jesus started with a parable. So who's the audience now? The Pharisee. God talked about the Pharisee, but he don't talk directly. He talked about there is a rich man. Guess what? The lover of money and now the rich man. That's about how they connect. And also, this rich man worship who? Abraham. Who worship Abraham? The Jews, the Pharisees, you see? And so now, point out this what the Pharisee, who are lover of money, who they have everything, but they don't share. Okay? Now, the first portion of chapter 16 talking about share what God has blessed you. And so the second part of chapter 16 talking about share of what? Steward of what? Certainly, God cannot inject a story about hellfire in this chapter, right? Does it make sense? What is related? There's no relation. How can we have steward money and now we're talking about hellfire? So it doesn't make sense upon that. So it got to be related somehow about sharing what God has given you. So let's go to a few texts here to understand the main point of this parable. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. Luke 6, 24 and 25. Can I ask, Daniel, can you read that? Luke chapter 6, 24 and 25. And I will have Justin, if you will, you read for me Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Okay, go to Luke 6, 24 and 25. Talking about the good life of the Pharisee here. What happened?
But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep.
Okay, God say that you are rich. You have everything. But God said, woe to you. You got everything, but you do nothing about it. It does sound like the church of Laodicea. You are rich, but you not know that you're naked. You thought you know everything, but you know nothing. You thought you would be saved, but you not be saved, you know? And so God go through this irony to help people to understand that you think you have everything, and I give you, and you think you are saved. Matter of fact, some to the point that you are saved, and you block other people not enter the kingdom of God. You know, some people like that. You know what? I'm going first. And if any more seat left, I let you in. Okay, next verse. Matthew chapter 21, verse 31.
Which of the two is the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you.
Okay, this is point of that text, is the key text. It's talking about a father have two sons, right? One of them say, could you do this? He say, yeah, I will do it, but turn on, then we'll do it. But the son, can you do this? Oh, I don't have time. But then he will do it. And so God end with that text right there. You know what? That you know it, but you don't do it. But here the publican, tax collector, they are sinner, but they will enter heaven before you. You think you will be saved. You know what? Somewhere else to be saved. And so God point out to the Pharisee that you are not take care of the people who don't know about the word of God. So here it is. The main point of the story is usually the very last verse in the parable. The last verse in parable is Luke chapter 16, verse 31. Okay? All right. Brittany, can you read that? Luke chapter 16, verse 31. That's the last verse. What has God tried to point out here? Okay, so in other words, the very end thing here, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they persuade it through the one who will rise from the dead. Okay, here it is. Before that verse, this is what happened. The rich man said, you know what? Can you give me a little water? Can you give a little drop of water to quench my thirst? And the Lord said, you know what? I cannot do that. Heaven and hell is so far away. And so in other words, the rich man said, you know what? I'm going to die here forever. And I'm going to hell already. But my brother don't know about it. Could you go back to my father's house and tell them, repent. Tell them, do what is right. So don't go in the same way that this rich man went. Okay? And so here it is, the story. Say, okay. And Abraham said, you know what? They already have the word of God. They have Moses, they have the prophet, they have the Old Testament, they can read and they can know the truth. But here it is, the rich man, you know what? I think even better if the dead resurrected, go to my brother, they will listen. So here it is, you look for miracle. If there's a miracle, then they will listen. And here Abraham and God will say this, you know what? They will not listen. Even the dead were resurrected. God had prophesied this. Even Lazarus was resurrected sometime later. Lazarus resurrected, and they tried to what? To kill Lazarus. And so they don't believe the word of God. In other words, the Pharisees have the knowledge of the word of God. They got Moses and the prophet. We have the Old Testament and New Testament. And guess what? We look for miracle. We look for some miracles so we can see this is the power from the word of God. God says, no, this is the power. This is all you need. Some people today say, I need something else more dramatic before I start sitting on the word of God. I need to something that God will change my life, rescue me from a car accident, or help me through going to a cancer, whatever it is. Then I believe the word of God. No, you have the word of God. This is the power. And so God wanted to try to point, say this here, that the Pharisee would not even believe if someone dead and become alive. So what's the point is here? So we know for sure it's not teaching about hellfire. Nowhere talking about that. This is just an only parable. It's talking about that now the Pharisee understanding the people who are rich in what? Not money, but rich in the knowledge of God. Know the word of God, right? Moses and the prophet. You know the Bible. But you're not sharing. You live outward appearance. But inside is empty. If you read before that parable, you see that you live outside appearance. You feel like, hey, I'm a Christian. I have everything. People come to me to learn about the truth. People come to me to find salvation. But God says, inside of you, you have nothing. You have nothing. You have a word of God, but you don't read it. You know salvation message, but you don't share it. And here the beggar want to what? eat the piece of crumb that fall off the table. Just like you learn the Bible, right? You have 100 Bible texts right here, and somehow the Bible text falls off the crumb, and someone, a little kid, come and grab it and say, you know what, thank you for that Bible text. We are careless. We don't care these Bible texts. But the people who are Gentile, they look for the Word of God. Now, this hit home to us here, that we know the knowledge of God here. We know the Word of God. Are we steward of the knowledge we have by sharing? Do we share? Or we keep it within the church building? Do you know people hunger for the Word of God? People looking for salvation, for safety, for hope. And we know we have everything here, and we keep to ourselves. That's the whole chapter 16. We must share. We cannot come here just relearn about the doctrine for ourselves. We learn to share. God give us money to share. If we don't want to share, God won't give us. The knowledge we will acquire, God will not give you more knowledge unless you share. And so the whole parable that I start to understand this is speaking to me now. Speak to me. Am I live up to what this parable Jesus tried to teach me? Or we just go day by day and let it go by. It doesn't matter. That crumb of the Word of God fall off the table and we don't care about it. And God tried to teach us, you know what? There's a time we come. We are responsible what God given us. We must share. If you have the burden of lost soul just like God, how can you not share? If I know Jesus coming soon and they were lost forever, how would I not share? That's what the Pharisees know everything about it. And they keep it to themselves. And that's why the book of Acts said, you know what? I'm not going to give this message to the Pharisee anymore, to the Christian anymore. I'm going to give it to the whole world, to the Gentile. If we don't share, God will use someone else to share. This message to us, my friend. It's been too long. This message needs to share to worldwide. You have so much technology. Within a second, everyone should know. But sometimes we use technology for ourselves, not using to get the Word of God out. You know, sometimes people tell me that when I go to a different city, I took some time to go to different store to put some newspaper and some track. And they say, you know, you waste your time. You just throw there and people throw in the trash. You know what? I want to do something. Hopefully, the seed that I sow what one of these days will blossom. You know, how many people are gardening? You know, sometimes you don't throw it on one seed, do you? You put it on one seed and hopefully it'll come out. No. You know, with the heat today, you know, who knows what happened? They're going to die. I throw 10 seeds. Hopefully one of them come up. If like that, why don't we sow a lot of seed out? Pass out glow. Share the Word of God. Record it. Email. Use Facebook. Do everything to get the Word of God out. We have the technology that God gave us. We have the knowledge of the Word of God that we can share. If we do just that, many souls will be saved in the kingdom of God when He comes. That's what the message. And that hit home for me. So two things we get out of this. Number one, you need to know this message is not talking about hellfire. So you can explain the whole other denomination and say that you got to understand wrong about this. Let me show you. The second thing, that you know the laws of God, we have to share. God's coming soon, and God wants to save everyone. And God depend on you. On you. God depend on you. God want you to taste. Taste. Taste what? Taste when you go witnessing. A chance to understand what God is going through. God wants you to taste it. And when you see one soul to be saved, it sounds so sweet. The whole chapter talks about it. That for you and I to share what we have. Do you and I, you want to do that? Everywhere. Anyone you connect. I'm so blessed with technology today. I'm able to get online in the morning, have a Bible study with someone across the world about it. It's amazing. People are crying out for it. Use what you can. And if you desire, you want to desire, or you desire to share what you know, just live it. I mean, you're just learning the Bible. What, few months, few years? Just live it. You want to share? Yeah. If you have the desire, God will open the door for you to share with someone else. May God bless each one of you as you go on this day forward to share the good news to other people. Thank you.